Good morning from the newsroom of the Financial Times. Today is Thursday, October 3rd, and this is your FT News Briefing. After prevailing in a WTO case, the White House moves to impose 25% tariffs on a number of EU imports. And Donald Trump says he will cooperate after the U.S. House of Representatives served the White House with subpoenas. And the FT's Sebastian Payne dissects Boris Johnson's UK Conservative Party conference speech and the Prime Minister's new Brexit plan. But first, the FT's Peter Wells explains why a series of events over the past few days eventually pushed global stocks to fall heavily on Wednesday. I'm Mark Filippino, and here's the news you need to start your day.
For me, a lot of this goes back to Tuesday. We had some really weak manufacturing readings that came out of Asia, then Europe. This really all came to a head when we had a very key manufacturing gauge in the US that came in with its lowest reading since the financial crisis. That's where we got the first more than 1% drop in the S&P 500. You wake up in Asia on Wednesday, you see the fall on Wall Street overnight, sell off again, Europe sells off again, Wall Street comes out on the back foot. Then we come to an issue with the World Trade Organization, who came out with a ruling in favor of the US against the EU for billions of dollars of subsidies that it had provided to Airbus over the years. The third thing that really weighed on sentiment on Wednesday was out of the United Kingdom, where we had British Prime Minister Boris Johnson appearing at the Conservative Party conference and revealing his plan for an Irish border solution. If EU and UK negotiators can't agree to that, it puts us in a situation where, as Mr. Johnson said himself, there is no alternative but a no-deal Brexit. And we've learned over recent months and recent years that the market does not particularly like the possibility of a no-deal Brexit. And that's why we had this more than 3% drop in the FTSE 100, which was its largest since January 2016. That's even bigger than the fall that it had when the UK voted to leave the EU in June of 2016. So with that started to also roll into the US market and at one point had the S&P 500 down more than 2%.
Your dinner parties might get a little more expensive soon. Italian cheese, whiskies from the UK, French wine and olives, and Spanish olive oil could all go up in price in the US as the Trump administration moved to impose tariffs on a variety of goods. Why is the Trump administration doing this? Well, as Peter mentioned just a little earlier, the WTO ruled on Wednesday that the EU failed to abide by rules in supporting Airbus. As a result, the WTO gave Washington the okay to press ahead with what will be the largest retaliatory action in its history. The WTO said the U.S. could slap 100% levies on $7.5 billion of goods, but the U.S. is limiting that hit for now. New airplanes from the EU will be subject to a 10% tariff, while other agricultural and industrial products will face a 25% levy. Senior officials from the U.S. Trade Representative's office say the administration will move quickly, aiming to have the levies in place by October the 18th. And Donald Trump says he will, in fact, cooperate with Congress in its impeachment inquiry. Yesterday, a panel in the U.S. House of Representatives threatened to serve the White House with subpoenas. The House Intelligence Committee is currently in the midst of an impeachment inquiry over Mr. Trump's July phone call with Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky. Mr. Trump asked Mr. Zelensky to investigate 2020 presidential candidate Joe Biden and his son Hunter. While he agreed to go along with the subpoena, Mr. Trump was clearly angry about it. During a press conference on Wednesday, the president laid into Democrats, including House Intelligence Chair Adam Schiff and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
This is a hoax. This is a fraudulent crime on the American people, but we'll work together with Shifty Shift and Pelosi and all of them, and we'll see what happens.
Democratic head of the House Oversight Committee, Elijah Cummings, said he would give the White House until Friday to respond to a voluntary request to provide documents in the investigation. And here's a closer look at a story you should know more about. On Wednesday, UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson finally published his plans for the country's exit from the European Union. And he delivered his keynote speech at the UK Conservative Party conference. The FT's Seb Payne has more.
In his keynote speech to his party's faithful, the British Prime Minister was essentially putting forward a feel-good message that was dictated by the party slogan, Get Brexit Done. Boris Johnson didn't have anything particularly new to say, though.
Let's get Brexit done. We can, we must, and we will, even though things have not been made easier by the surrender bill. We will work for a deal with our EU friends.
There were no major new policy announcements. A lot of things were reiterated, even some of the jokes the Prime Minister has used before. But what was striking about it was the tone, I guess, that he was trying to be more conciliatory, talk about more socially liberal things, as well as his hardline views on Brexit, which is leaving the EU come what may on October the 31st. Speaking to people in the cabinet who are more of a left Tory persuasion, they liked what they heard today, and it looked as if Boris Johnson was delivering on his original leadership pitch of being a one-nation conservative on domestic matters while taking a tougher line on the Brexit question.
What was in the Brexit plan he hopes to present to the EU?
As soon as Boris had finished delivering his speech today, he released details of a new Brexit plan. That's to get rid of the infamous Irish border backstop that stopped Theresa May passing that deal through Parliament three times. The plan, which has been worked on secretly in weeks and months in Downing Street, was essentially to remove the backstop, which is a temporary customs union to ensure there is never a hard border on the island of Ireland, and to replace it with various checks and balances, essentially keeping Northern Ireland within the EU's regulatory orbit for trade, particularly with goods. And if Northern Ireland wants to divert at any point, it would have to then pass a vote in Stormont, that's the devolved assembly in Belfast. To try and avoid a hard border, Boris's new plan is centred on technological solutions, the so-called alternative arrangements. It's worth noting these have been ruled out many times by the EU and Dublin, and that's why his new proposals have received a frosty response so far. But actually, Downing Street are quite pleased with that, because they see the EU as being willing to engage. They've not yet gone into the tunnel, which is Brussels speak for the formal negotiations on changing the legal text, but so far, Leo Varadkar in Dublin and Jean-Claude Juncker in Brussels have said they are willing to talk, and conversations will continue over the coming days and weeks.
So Seb, what are the next steps?
The UK and Brussels will continue talking backwards and forwards with officials from both sides, trying to get to a point where formal negotiations on changing the legal text of the Brexit withdrawal agreement can actually happen. By this time next week, we should have a pretty good idea if there is going to be a Brexit solution to all this. Back in Westminster for Boris Johnson, he's going to prorogue Parliament again next week. Now, this is not what he was trying to do last time to stop the House of Commons from debating Brexit. He's actually going to have a Queen's speech. That's where he's going to set out this big, bold new domestic agenda the Conservatives are going to put forward in an upcoming general election. That will go through, but Mr. Johnson won't be able to actually win a vote on his Queen's speech, because since he kicked out 21 people from his party, the Conservatives don't have a working majority in the House of Commons. So talks will go on to try and break the Brexit impasse, and the opposition parties will continue to denounce Mr. Johnson's effort and look to that all-important date of October the 19th. If there's no deal by then legislation kicks in, forcing the Prime Minister to get another extension.
You can read more on all of these stories at FT.com. Today, we'll be following the services side of the U.S. economy. An ISM survey is due out today that will give us a wider perspective on everything else that's going on in the non-manufacturing side of things. This has been your daily FT News Briefing. Make sure you check back tomorrow for the latest business news.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. From a local business to a global corporation,
Partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter.
Visit bankofamerica.com/banking for business to learn more.
What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.